Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Across the country, chaos and arrests as campus protests against the war in Gaza swell. That's a sound from Emory University in Atlanta. Columbia University setting today is the deadline to move a student encampment. So far, however, those students are still there. Analysis continues to come in to the absolute immunity arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday. Here's ABC's Terry Moran.
At the heart of this case, Donald Trump's unprecedented claim. His lawyer telling the justices that presidents can never face criminal prosecution for anything they do in office that can be linked to their official duties.
Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it.
The sheer magnitude of that claim hung over the courtroom, several justices acknowledging the stakes.
This case has huge implications for the presidency, for the future of the presidency, for the future of the country.
Today, the former president's criminal hush money trial continues in New York City. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Home prices in Wisconsin are 10% higher than they were a year ago. The Wisconsin Realtors Association says the median priced home in Wisconsin is about $300,000. The report points to a low supply of homes and higher interest rates. Richland County leaders say they face a potential economic crisis as UW-Platteville prepares to vacate its former branch campus. State Senator Kelda Roy says the UW system is reneging on expensive long-term commitments.
The legislature hasn't even begun to reckon with the financial impact that this is going to have on those local communities and the local governments who are now left holding the bag.
Richland County leaders say a recent $2 million grant from the state does not absolve the UW of its obligations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The University of Wisconsin-Superior officially broke ground on its new stadium on Thursday. Construction on the Superior Choice Credit Union Stadium has been delayed for about a year, leading to an additional $2 million price tag on the over $7 million project. The field will be made with artificial turf so the soccer and lacrosse teams can use it longer into the season and will also have a nine-lane track. Officials expect that construction should last through the summer and the stadium should be open in September. The Boys and Girls Club of the Northland has unveiled its new esports gaming room at its Lincoln Park facility. According to a Northern News Now report, the lounge includes monitors, gaming consoles, and a variety of games for the kids to enjoy. Officials say gaming will give the kids an opportunity to improve their critical thinking, fine motor skills, and problem-solving abilities. The club will also be competing in esports against other clubs and some schools, giving the kids an opportunity to be part of a team. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the Bucks and the Pacers as their playoff series tips off tonight in Indianapolis. Damian Lillard.
First, you got to understand it's going, you know, every game is going to be a tough game. You know, anytime you go on another team's home floor, you got to know that they're going to be more comfortable. They're going to be more confident. They're a team that already plays fast. They're going to play a little bit faster at home. And I think that's when we got to lean on our experience.
The series stands one game apiece. Baseball. Brewers and the Yankees at AmFam Field tonight. Football, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. Coming up, the Packers using their first pick on Arizona offensive tackle Jordan Morgan.
Feels so great. I mean, I've been watching David Bakhtiari, following him and studying his play. So, I mean, it feels like such an honor to be able to go to Green Bay and play.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
To me, it was just, you know, I think we needed to add some things to that group. And this and Jordan just fit us.
That's Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers, even a few thunderstorms by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 56, with wind out of the southeast gusting to near 35. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, our low down to 50. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, breezy, warmer with scattered thunderstorms and a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Keldo Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, stop by on a TGIF edition. That's thank goodness it's Friday. Our old friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World stops by with a week in review. Wacky things humans do.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. Did you watch any of the draft last night?
No, I didn't, man, but I'm really surprised. I'm asking Calvin how he's doing, and he's not saying TGIF. Maybe he's getting old.
Well, he's probably, I watched the draft too, and when I woke up this morning, I scratched my head and thought, why did I watch the draft? But it was kind of, it was an interesting process. And they work out, you know, they have 10 minutes between, and they really did they filled up the 10 minutes even without making you feel like it was a ridiculous process.
So by now you know who that guy is. That's Sandy Williams, my co-host. Sandy, we already know what you did yesterday. Evening.
Well, last night. Yeah. Well, Calvin, what'd you think? I mean, I noticed then that this morning there were all these pundits who gave grades, and they gave A's to like the first 12 choices. Well, huh?
Yeah.
It's not very hard to do that.
Well,
and then it sank down a little bit into less known people, and then they didn't give A's anymore. But like, what the hell? These pundits have spent months doing mock drafts, and I mean, and they hooked me. I mean, I did watch it.
Yeah. Calvin?
Yeah, I mean, the first 7 picks went pretty by the book, but then the Falcons really threw a wrench in everything, taking a quarterback at 8. No one expected them to do that.
Well, especially since they had taken the Minnesota Vikings quarterback.
Yeah, $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I think just all the pundits talk about, when you draft someone, you play them right away. They forget that the Green Bay Packers formula has worked pretty well of taking quarterbacks and not playing them right away.
Well, so we want everybody to know that today's show, as promised, is going to be about the accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, the Biden-Harris record, according to the White House. This is...
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about how we'd have a show with people who've called in. Some of them are obviously not Biden supporters, have said, well, why don't you tell us what's good about Biden? Or at least talk about that. So I think today we've decided to give the opportunity to talk about what's good about Biden, and next week we'll have an opportunity for people to try and talk about what's good about Donald Trump.
So, Calvin, if you would be so kind, got a little special treat. And, Calvin, if you'd be so kind.
What's to listen. Let's work on a new song.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anniversary thing.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So
I got the second tenor.
I got the top.
Oh, you got the top, Bill?
Yeah.
All right, take the bass. All right.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's move
aside.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
little sound good.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Really, really sound good, man.
Hey, man,
you
just hear. Hey, man, what about the bass, man?
Bass, man. Always sounds good.
Now, okay, I'll tell you what, then. Let's do it again.
One more time.
All right, just
stay on pitch now. Stay on pitch.
All right, come on. Woo!
Another year has come and gone, and we're still together here with a love so very strong.
So while we're celebrating like this, we'll take a toast to the year. Cause if anyone deserves to stay together out of bill, we should be one. Happy anniversary, my dear. Happy anniversary.
Spent in a man is in the woman who packs him up, and in you I can depend to be the one to hold his tent. That's the way you've always been.
So while we are celebrating, I'll drink a toast to you, my dear. Cause I made my resolution. This is my own constitution, to love you more and more each day. Ooh, happy anniversary. And good cheer. Happy anniversary.
All right.
Well, I guess that wasn't just a song, was it, Earl?
No, it actually is dedicated to my wife, Allie. Today is my anniversary, our anniversary. And, you know, Sandy, you've been married for a while, like I have. And, you know, there are times that, you know, we do so many different things. And you know, I'm a guy who has his fingers in a lot of different things, who spends a lot of time away from the house working to try to make a community better. And when you do that, it means that, you know, you can't always be at home. And so while people give me accolades, I really couldn't have done any of the things that I've done without having someone at home who makes sure that those things continue, especially with the young man that we've been raising for the last 21 years, a disabled young man who requires 24-hour care. I just wanted to wish my wife a happy anniversary and, you know, tell her I love her. And you don't always say those things, but I do, and could not do any of these things without her. And so that's it. Wanted to at least acknowledge and want people within the sound of my voice who sometimes talk about me in glowing terms, that whoever I am, I could not be any of those things without my wife, someone who's known me for well over 50 years. And it's still there. So happy anniversary, my dear, Sandy.
Well, anyone who's known you for more than 50 years, more power to them.
Well, you know, man, people get to, they don't see us, they don't see our flaws. They don't see us without our mask. And when someone who does, and even in the face of those flaws, and because nobody's, you know, I didn't fall down out of heaven. And certainly I came up out of hell like most people. And so my wife has been there, and I want her to know that I'm going to continue to be there. And anyway, that's it.
Well, congratulations. Cheers.
Well, thank you. And
so you've got a massive accomplishment, but we were going to talk about Biden's accomplishments as well. So.
Oh, so you think that's a massive
account? Well, I think absolutely.
42 years.
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's you're to be congratulated.
Yeah, and you know, Sandy.
And my sympathies.
Oh, your sympathies, Allie. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, you know, Sandy, as we get ready to unravel the Biden-Harris record, there's so many things and accomplishments that they have brought into existence that we take for granted on a daily basis. And you're not hearing it, on the nightly news.
Well, I think the problem is that things that are accomplished don't tend to be newsworthy for very long, and it's always the downside of life that gets lots of coverage. So, you know, and I think you found the White House has put out its own tout sheet. So I think that's probably the place to start. What does someone have to say about themselves about what they've accomplished in the political world?
And thanks to Julie from Franklin, who challenged us.
And Gary, who apparently joined in that chorus from Sussex.
Yeah, to give them, talk about the things that he's done. Because if you really look and listen to what you're hearing in different places, Joe Biden is the worst thing that ever happened to our country.
Well, I think what's interesting is that there are people, I think this is how we backed into this, was that there are, when you talk to people, many people will tell you that they aren't happy with the candidate, but they'll never vote for the other guy. So, you know, I've talked to Republicans who I think would hold their nose to vote for Trump, but they will do it because they say, I'll never vote for Biden. Biden's like a disaster for the country. And I've always wanted to ask them, well, tell me why. That's what I don't understand is the why about what that disaster might be. And then again, the Democrats, many will say, look, I'm not that happy with Biden, but I'll never vote for Trump. I probably fall into that camp, and I probably have my own list of the reasons why I would do that. But I think it's interesting to talk about the reasons why.
And for the sake of balance, on Tuesday, we'll have former president, Donald Trump's record.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of balance. And I will tell you, as I was going through these things, I'm really kind of amazed because he was able to make these things happen, Sandy, with pushback.
Well, he was able to make them happen without having a majority of both houses in Congress. So anything,
which is kind of unusual.
Yeah. Anything that you get through Congress on a bipartisan basis is unusual. Most of the presidents, including Trump and Obama being included, failed to pass things when they didn't control both houses.
So on the other side, the Biden-Harris record according to the White House.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us, especially throughout the entire show. We welcome your calls. Special show this morning with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We're talking about the accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Constantly hear people asking, what have they done? Well, we're going to run down a list of many of the things that they tout. The White House themselves as accomplishments that have happened under President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Delivering on the most aggressive climate and environmental justice agenda in American history. Sandy, we always hear about the climate issue. And there are people who push back against climate. They don't believe it's a big issue. Many people believe that the climate issue is made up. And that, you know, if it means we've got to do something, when we talk about electric vehicles, there are people who are attacking.
You know, I heard this is in a really interesting presentation. Carl Sagan, remember
yeah,
the guy?
Yeah, I remember Carl Sagan.
So Carl Sagan gave a presentation in which he was talking about the remote possibility that of something horrible happening. And he said the whole Cold War was premised on remote possibilities. Was Russia going to attack us? We all knew it was a very remote possibility, but the horrific outcome of it caused us to expend hundreds of billions of dollars. In fact, he was at that point, I don't know when he gave this lecture, able to say that from the beginning of the Cold War in 1950 to that date, we had spent $10 trillion on our defense, almost lots of it aimed at making sure that the remote possibility of a nuclear war didn't happen, okay? So we were willing to spend a lot of money against that remote possibility because of the cataclysmic outlook. And then he said, well, what about climate change? People say, well, it's not necessarily going to happen. It's not necessarily going to be a bad thing. But isn't there a 10% probability that there could be a horrible outcome from climate change? If so, then we ought to be investing a lot of money, just like we were willing in defense to invest a lot of money to avoid climate change. And I thought this was a pretty sound discussion of how you deal with the future and potentials in the future, because we obviously have been willing to deal with remote possibilities associated with military risk at with huge expenditures, unlimited.
So, Sandy, is it safe to say that probably people look at the climate change issue like it's not going to happen in my lifetime?
Right. I mean,
so why are we worried about it?
I mean, that's the problem with the way we now are thinking. We aren't thinking enough about our progeny, about our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I think the baby boom generation in particular is worried about what's going to happen during our planning horizon, which is our lifetime. And, you know, if you think that way, then you don't do much about future risk.
So aggressive climate action. The United States is positioned to achieve our ambitious climate goals of cutting our emissions in half by 2030, and net zero emissions by 2050. The president has taken executive action and signed legislation to develop clean energy at home accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles, and reduce pollution that endangers overburdened communities. And the president is lowering energy costs for families, creating good-paying jobs, and ensuring America leads the global clean energy economy. The president also protected more lands and waters in his first year than any president since John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, and I think we should, the flip side of this, I think you should jump to the production of energy. I think you have something there about that, because people will argue that, well, he shut down that land, and so, you know, now we're short oil and it's expensive, but I don't think that's the fact.
Well, let's get to this. America is now positioned to achieve its climate goals of cutting our emissions, investing in clean and equitable solutions in disadvantaged communities, more than 100 executive actions to develop clean energy, lower costs, create jobs, and reduce pollution. Sandy, where would you get the information that he's issued over 100 executive actions? That's a pretty powerful tool.
Well, one of the things that's happened is that presidents have been kind of forced to use executive orders because of the recalcitrance of Congress to do things. And so increasingly presidents have resorted to executive orders. And there are plenty of things over which presidents have ledger domain, have power to do that. So, but there will be callers who will want to talk about oil and restrictions on oil production. And I think one of the flip sides of this is that we're producing more oil now under Biden than we did ever in the history of the nation, and we're producing more oil than any other country in the world. And we have actually controlled that with the world oil prices being substantially affected by the oil cartel. And, the oil cartel essentially controls the price of oil in the world by controlling production, Saudi Arabia and Russia being two of the prime movers in terms of curtailing production. So the world price of oil has gone up, but we've actually controlled the price of gas and oil in the United States more than the rest of the world has. And we've had a substantial reduction in the price of gasoline at the pump over the last year and a half.
Well, you know, Sandy, you have always talked about the fact that when over the years that people would blame presidents for gas prices, the oil prices going up and down. You've always said,
well, they'll give credit and blame.
Yeah, you're right.
And the fact is, these are commodities with world prices having a substantial effect on it. And so it's just kind of fallacious. And then I think several weeks ago, we talked about this more in depth, but the kind of oil that's being produced in great quantity now in the United States is not the kind of Brent crude oil that our refineries like. So we end up importing oil at the world price of oil relate to that issue. And we export 4 million barrels a day, and we import more than that because of the fact that the kind of oil we produce isn't right for our refineries.
So what are your thoughts, Sandy, about the continued pushback that Joe Biden is trying to take away our combustible engines and cars, and he's forcing us into electric vehicles? And
well, I don't think there's any coercion here. There are benefits. Some of them are being borne. There are tax benefits that are being realized by people who buy electric cars. So there are incentives that I suppose have some kind of a cost within our budget. But the world is moving rapidly in the direction of electric cars, and China is leading that movement. And China's manufacturing of electric cars has the potential, if people would wake up and open their eyes, has the potential to move the manufacturing of automobiles away from the United States and to China, for instance. If we don't keep up with the capacity to build the kind of cars that the world is ultimately going to want, we'll be out in left field.
So it's not correct to say Joe Biden is unilaterally trying to force people into electric cars.
No, I mean, the market is making its decision, and the market is on the production side is making the decision about what kind of cars to produce.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. We're going to go through President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris's record over what they've accomplished thus far in their presidency.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Four Wisconsin technical colleges will use $75,000 to train young firefighters. The Youth Volunteer Firefighter Training Program aims to boost recruits for rural volunteer fire departments. They're having a hard time attracting and retaining firefighters. President Biden and Vice President Harris have been to Wisconsin 11 times since the midterm elections. Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming says that shows weakness.
It's not because they're confident in Wisconsin. It's because they know they're in trouble in Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that.
Democratic Chair Ben Wickler says the more voters hear from Donald Trump, the more they move toward Democrats. The two spoke at a WISP politics luncheon Thursday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Junk Hunt is officially underway at the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center. The event will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday and Saturday this week at the DECC. It will feature over 150 vendors selling a variety of items like furniture, artwork, clothes, food, and more. A portion of the proceeds from the event will go towards Second Harvest Northern Lakes Food Bank. Another Junk Hunt event will also be held this fall. Tickets can be purchased online for $5 or at the door for $7. This week, the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association voted down a measure that would have allowed high school student-athletes to receive compensation for the use of their name, image, and likeness. St. Croix Falls Athletic Director Tara Rose had this to say on the legal issues the approval of the measure could have caused.
I do not feel equipped as an athletic director to help my student-athletes, and my parents navigate this rule accurately.
And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're making weekend plans and are in Northeast Wisconsin or don't mind a short road trip, check out An Evening with John McGivern Friday night, April 26th at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. The host of Main Streets on PBS and former host of Around the Corner tells funny stories about his life growing up in Milwaukee in a big Irish Catholic family and his prolific show business career. Tickets can be purchased at TicketStarOnline.com. Quick fashion tip, if you appear on a podcast, don't go commando, especially if you're wearing baggy shorts. Travis Kelce and comedian Andrew Santino recently discussed Kelce's appearance on Santino's podcast a few years ago, where Kelce was literally hanging out. Santino and his editor decided not to reshoot, but just put a big Kansas City Chiefs logo over Kelce's ballular area. That's a medical term. Look it up. Kelce laughed as he recalled the incident, saying he had no idea at the time. Yeah, sure. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers, even a few thunderstorms by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 56, with wind out of the southeast gusting to near 35. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, our low down to 50. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, breezy, warmer with scattered thunderstorms at a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful. Beautiful, so heartfelt, would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk live with former and maybe future Congressman Peter Barca about his decision to run this fall in Southeast Wisconsin's 1st District.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and as promised, we are going through a litany of all of the things that have been accomplished under the presidency of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And it actually goes to believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Because if you listen to other stations and places, you'll hear all negative things. These are facts, and you can go anywhere and find these facts. For those who have asked what has Joe Biden done and Kamala Harris done, here are the list. So, Sandy, and this is according to National Public Radio, violent crime is dropping fast in the U.S., even if Americans don't believe it. Now, you know, everywhere you listen to some conservative outlets and reading some conservative papers, it'll tell you about the crime rate. They're scaring people to death.
Well, yeah, and I was surprised. I was looking at various media sources about the results of the Biden administration, and Bloomberg News was where I noticed that they were giving credit to Biden for a reduction, the reduction over the last 2 years in violent crime, which has been material. Apparently, in the last year, it was down 11%. Across the country. The Bloomberg News was making the connection between the greater funding, federal funding to police departments coming out of the COVID Relief Act probably has had an impact on police departments and effectiveness with respect to crime prevention. But in any case, you know, whether you can connect presidents to crime at the local level or not, people want to make that connection. If they want to make that connection, then they probably have to give credit to the Biden administration for a material reduction in violent crime over the last couple of years. You know, the COVID period, with everyone confined and the society basically kind of torn up by it, was a period of very substantial. So, you know, when Biden came into office, he inherited a period when violent crime was on the upswing. And now it's on the downswing.
Well, you know, he also came in at a time, Sandy, when there was this defund the police. And after the George Floyd incident.
Right.
And people made hay with defund the police. And they attached it to Joe Biden and Democrats. Well, you know, Joe Biden and Democrats are defund the police and defund the police. You just stated the amount of money.
Yeah, apparently.
That went into police.
Yeah, apparently Bloomberg News reports, at least, that a material increase in federal funding has flowed to local police departments under the Biden administration based on that act.
So there clearly is no question that that is factual. In the city where I live, they have been down well over 500 to 700 police officers for a decade or more, and now those positions are being filled, Sandy, as quickly as they can find police to fill those 400 to 500 slots that have been open for the last decade or more, because the city didn't have money to pay.
Yeah, well,
to have,
you know,
those police.
I mean, the argument of the people who tell me that they will never vote for Biden because he's bad for the republic tend to talk about how America's going to hell, you know, that
right.
We've got crime in the streets, we just need to be factual about it. I mean, people should have reasons for why they vote, but I just hope the reasons are factual.
You know, this is again National Public Radio. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. The number of murders across the country surged by nearly 30% between 2019 and 2020, according to the FBI statistics. That's the last year of President Donald Trump's time in office. The overall violent crime rate, which included murders, assault, robbery, and rape, inched up around 5% in that same period. But in 2023, crime in America looked very different. At some point in 2022, at the end of 2022 or through 2023, there was just a tipping point where violence started to fall, and it just continues to fall, said Jeff Asher, a crime analyst and co-founder of Datalytics, in cities big and small from both coasts, violence has dropped. So last thing, the national picture shows that murder is falling. We have data from over 200 cities showing a 12.2% decline in murder, Sandy, in 2023 relative to 2022, Asher said, citing his own analysis of public data. So if that's true, Sandy, and it's safe that you can believe these statistics, why then are we hearing people say we've got to buy more arms? People need to go and buy more guns because they're believing something that they're hearing that's not true.
Yeah, I think the anecdotal evidence caused by the news media coverage of violent crime causes people to extrapolate from the anecdote to some more general kind of a thing, which isn't true. And, you know, I think it's great if our society is moving in the direction of less violence, and I hope that we can continue that trend.
Sandy, rebuilding the infrastructure, 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us at any time. Rebuilding our infrastructure, Sandy. I remember when President Biden started talking about the infrastructure.
Let's go back because President Trump began the talk saying during his administration, early in his administration, he announced that, of course, he was going to pass the most massive infrastructure bill ever and that we would rebuild the infrastructure. It didn't happen during those 4 years, but it did happen early in the Biden administration. Through bipartisan legislation, they passed, I think, the biggest federal infrastructure bill funding ever.
Well, you know, people talk about inflation, Sandy, and they blame Joe Biden for inflation. And
well, to the extent that any of the bills that were passed might be inflationary, it could be that that infrastructure bill had some inflationary impact, but every bit of inflationary impact it had was the result of job creation, and it was an investment in America's infrastructure. So we got something for it. It wasn't just money spent for defense, for instance, which has trouble providing tangible benefits to Americans other than defense jobs. But the infrastructure bill is providing tangible investment value to Americans, and we can look all around Wisconsin at bridges and highways and the things that are ongoing.
Well, you know, Sandy, I just want to say Washington policymakers celebrated Infrastructure Week without ever delivering. President Biden got it done. He worked across the aisle to forge consensus and pass the bipartisan infrastructure law, a once-in-a-generation investment in our nation's infrastructure. We are rebuilding our roads, bridges, ports, and airports, upgrading public transit and rail systems, replacing lead pipes to provide clean water, cleaning up pollution, providing affordable high-speed internet to every family in America, delivering cheaper and cleaner energy to households and businesses, and creating good-paying jobs, including union jobs and jobs that don't require a four-year degree. Let's go to Lee from Palmyra. Good morning to you, Lee. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. See, I've got a question concerning this outrageous idea that the Supreme Court can grant permission to the president or former president that they would be above the law. Has anyone thought this through? And if they do so, if they're crazy, that would also give President Biden the power to do what he considers to be or used to be above the law. He could remove two of the Supreme Court justices for receiving gifts and not reporting them. Aren't these guys really thinking all these things through?
Hey, Lee, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Tell somebody about us. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, we sort of jumped the track there, but, you know, the Supreme Court case, I think we'll have another day when we can talk about it and should talk about it,
right.
the various, some of the interesting Supreme Court cases that are pending. And that one is exceedingly interesting because it's totally unique and not been heard by the Supreme Court before. I would simply tell people that, you know, that first of all, I think the Supreme Court is not going to rule that the president has absolute immunity. That would be really outlandish, and the questioning doesn't suggest they will. But the worrisome thing now is the questioning suggests that it might get sent back to the appellate court for further analysis, which would delay the case and probably make it unlikely that it would get tried before the upcoming election, so that it would all become moot in all likelihood. Maybe that's what the Supreme Court's looking for, is they can just duck this all together. It gets delayed. If Trump gets elected, he terminates the case, and it's all moot, so they don't have to decide it. But the question of immunity is complicated, but let me just say that if the president committed a murder during his presidency and the investigation didn't reveal that the president committed it until 4 years after he was out of office, you'd have to expect that he could be prosecuted for it, and he wouldn't have to be impeached for it. He can't be impeached 4 years after he's out of office. So, you know, a bunch of the discussion before the Supreme Court does defy logic, because I think the president's lawyers are suggesting that he can't be prosecuted for anything until he's impeached by Congress for it. And we can imagine all kinds of things and ways that that doesn't work.
So let's get back to our focus, Sandy, and executive orders protecting reproductive rights, a big one, an issue that is still going after Donald Trump, you know, kind of began this cascade of reproductive rights taken away.
Right. I mean, I think those who are strident about limiting the woman's right to choose with respect to the medical treatments associated with pregnancy would think that what Trump did was a good thing by appointing the Supreme Court justices that resulted in the Doe decision. And I think those who don't agree with that position should give credit to Biden for the things that he's doing now to try and preserve the woman's right to choose what kind of medical treatment she gets.
And we're going to get into that. Let's go to the text line. This is Stephen, and Stephen says, American prosperity is strong right now. Record number of people employed. Job numbers have been up for the last 12 months. American people are building again. Wages are more competitive. People are able to move into better positions. People have more money in the bank, almost like Biden is living up to his policies. Trump has 91 felony counts, including being held liable for rape, murder, capped the prices of insulin, and enrollment participation at its highest, infrastructure bill, on and on and on. So yeah, I mean, that clearly.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we will go to the job side, because I do think the Biden administration on the economic side, Trump used to tout himself for how well the stock market has done. The stock market has exceeded expectations during Biden's administration. Everyone predicted a recession when Biden took office. You know, could we really have 4 more years of prosperity and bull market? And the fact is that we have defied that. The stock market is higher than ever. People who have stock assets are doing better than ever. But beyond that, real wages for the last year and a half have gone up, okay? We had inflation for a while that was causing wages not to keep up with the cost of living, but now real wages are actually exceeding the cost of living increases, and we have many more jobs today than we had before.
So, Sandy, for those who have asked the question and presented it over and over and over again, who on the other side of this, what has Joe Biden done? 844-967-2789. We're presenting the accomplishments of Vice President Kamala Harris and President Joe Biden. Your opportunity to refute it. Silence is golden. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. If I was the
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Save big money on Menards' unbeatable selection of Atlas roofing products. Atlas shingles have the curb appeal you're looking for and the protection you deserve. Castlebrook, Briarwood, and Pinnacle shingles feature a limited lifetime warranty, up to 130 mile per hour wind warranty, and a super wide design for fast installation. Choose from 20 styles in stock, ready to take home today. And check out Menards.com for all of our hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day. And I'll send all my loving to you.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. And as promised, we are talking about the accomplishments of President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And we got another text message that says, I love propaganda. So, Sandy, I guess they're referring to this information that we're giving out as propaganda. Well, you know, you can go to the White House and just Google the White House.
Well, I mean, people might say anything comes from the White House is obviously
propaganda.
Biased. But propaganda, there's a difference between propaganda and facts. So if we're dealing with facts, we're not dealing with propaganda. Propaganda, I think, is a term used for massaged facts, facts that are used and bent.
Or alternative facts.
Or alternative facts. And so, you know, we're going to have a Tuesday show in which we're going to try and talk about the positives associated with Donald Trump, what he's done, what he promises to do, what the implications of that are, and the callers will have an opportunity as well to amplify on that. But we're trying to list the things that could be discussed that are the positives associated with Joe Biden, since we've had lots of callers say, why do you attack Donald Trump? Why don't you tell us what's good about Joe Biden? So that's this effort. And we don't want to color it with a bias. We're trying to just list it. I suspect that when we repeat what's written, most of the people who write things about the benefits will try to make it all positive. But for instance, when I read the Bloomberg News listing of the 20 accomplishments, Bloomberg is not a pro-Biden news media.
Okay, and so executive orders protecting reproductive rights. Since the Supreme Court took away a constitutional right from the American people, President Biden and Vice President Harris are taking action to defend reproductive rights. The president has signed executive orders to protect access to reproductive health care, including abortion and contraception, and safeguarded patient privacy and sensitive health information, and has made clear his commitment to fighting any attack by state or local officials who attempt to interfere with women accessing their constitutional right to travel out of the state for medical care. And, Sandy, you know, it is a continued fight, an issue with women's reproductive rights and where that all goes. Let's bring Steve from Cudahy on board. Good morning to you, Steve. Your thoughts?
Good morning. I'm just talking about your commentary on Biden, Harris, and inflation. I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. A couple things with the gross national product. the increase, or that's not really the person's doing in office that has the other different intangibles, but inflation and job creation, that's set by the president's policies and put forth by the Congress to institute stuff, et cetera, et cetera. What cracks me up is these right wingers, the media outlet, and the people that vote right wing, you can't imagine, a lot of them are so financially depressed that they vote Republican on such dumb wedge issues. So when you hear Fox News, like they got Tourette syndrome and Lou Dobbs now harping on the inflation because of Biden, well, General Mills just got caught with a report where they are giving their top-notch brass hundreds of millions of dollars, and investors and all the other top people in General Mills, because they increased all their cereal over 20%, and they say that it's because of inflation. That's the same thing with drug companies, when they used to always say, you know, it's the cost of research and development because the drugs are going so high for inflation and all that. It's not, because they're paying the top people and everybody else tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's not Biden, where the right wingers are just saying it's inflation because of Biden. It's not. It's because of the companies are feeding all the pigs at the trough and then just telling people, well, gee, the increase in cereal is going up $2 because of Biden. I'll take your answers off the air.
Stephen, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, the president has a limited control over inflation. He doesn't control the Federal Reserve. He doesn't control Congress's actions in particular. He doesn't really control the size of deficits. And he certainly doesn't control world prices on all the various things. But we can look at sources of inflation, and all the tariffs that were implemented under Trump were very inflationary. And there have been a variety of other inflationary actions that occurred prior to the tax reduction was an inflationary action during the Trump period. So who can you point the finger at with respect to inflation? Well, it's a whole broad range. But the fact is that inflation has come way down, much more successfully than ever in the past, actually. We've never had a reversion from inflation occur quite so quickly.
Sandy, rescue the economy and change the course of the pandemic. Soon after taking office with the pandemic raging and an economy reeling, the president signed the American Rescue Plan to change the course of the pandemic and jumpstart our economy's recovery. The American Rescue Plan funded our successful vaccination campaign, safely reopened schools or in-person learning, helped 200,000 child care providers keep their doors open, and delivered relief to the American families. That's unquestioned. That's factual.
Absolutely. There was obviously quite a focus on schools, education, and children in the process of the response. We should all remember what a difficult time period the pandemic was, what uncharted waters we were in, and how sort of messed up our society became as the result of these sort of confounding things. And the fact is that we got through it, and we got through it quite successfully. We tore ourselves up a bit about it, and we're continuing to react to it. But I think Joe Biden handled it quite smoothly.
You know, Sandy, and as you stated, how soon we forgot. 844-967-2789. The accomplishments of President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. More on the Earl Ingram Show.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Crude and Dumb.
Trump trial. More Packer talk in your Friday grievances, only on the Devil's Advocates radio show. You made it to the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.